you remember where you were a year ago?
Exactly.
The funny thing about that conversation is, for whatever reason, you remember this. I had no inkling.
Is this what your wife has to deal with, too? Like, do you forget anniversaries?
Oh, that's...
Okay, let's not get into that. Never mind.
That's a touchy conversation.
Okay, Sorry. But, hey, 1 year with Locker. We stopped introducing him about 6 weeks ago. But...
It's been a year.
It's been 1 year today.
It would have been yesterday, but...
That was the provincial election on the 28th, and we thought launching the show on the provincial election probably would be a little distracting.
So it's me and Mo you got stuck with, eh?
Saskatchewan?
Scotty on Monday, and it was Locker on Tuesday.
No longer introducing Jamie and Locker. As we've been doing for a full year, the starting lineup, the top sports headlines to begin the green zone or blue zone today, as the World Series is now a best of three.
Hit well to deep left center, and this one will go. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. lines one into the seats in left center, and the Blue Jays take the lead.
And they wouldn't give that lead up the rest of the way. 6-2 win for the Toronto Blue Jays over the Dodgers in Game 4 of the World Series. It is a 2-2 series. One more game in Los Angeles tonight, and then it's Toronto and on Game 6, and if necessary, Saturday. For game number 7. Treya Savage, young man, here's the ball in game number 5. Blake Snell gets the ball again. Of course, this is the rematch of game 1 that went the Blue Jays' way.
Trey's been spending a lot of time on the in the bench there with Mad Max. So and you can see he spends a lot of time talking to the vets as well. Right? And there, I think he's getting a lot of really good advice.
He's trying to get as much advice as possible.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Crucial game tonight, game 5 in Los Angeles. Of course, you can hear it right here on CJME through the Sportsnet Blue Jays radio network.
CFL will move over there. The Rough Riders leading the West with 10 division all-stars.
End zone long touchdown! Myers down the field. Keyshawn Johnson, are you kidding me? For some.
All right, you heard some highlights there, but on the list is Keyshawn Johnson, Dante Myers, Ferland, Brammer, Hardrick, Johnson, Revis, Thurman, Milligan, Campbell. Some nice names there. A couple of names that probably could have made the list, Jamie.
A.J. Allen's the guy that I look at going, I voted for Mike Rose as well, the defensive tackle. I will be honest, I didn't vote for Mike. I voted for Mike Rose. I voted for the tackle from Calgary and one of the tackles from Saskatchewan, but I went with Mike Rose. Nice to see a couple of guys, like Keyshawn Johnson, Dante Myers, first 1,000-yard seasons, great job. Jacob Bramer, the right guard, the American, has played, I think, because Hardrick and Ferland have been so good, he's kind of flown under the radar. I thought he was flying under the radar, but clearly not because the voters put him in there. But, C.J. Revis, Jameer Thurman. It's a great list. Great list for the Riders.
Good to see them getting the recognition that they deserve.
And they were back to practice today. It was a closed practice. Britton Gray will have more from the Riders. Day one of the bonus week, as they're calling it. Meanwhile, Locker's Oilers ended the Mammoths' 7-game win streak.
He'll gain the line and dish over to Ekholm for a big blast, and he scores. And Edmonton right back in the game. Here's a drive and another goal. And Edmonton takes its first lead.
6-3. It was 2-0 Mammoth, and then the Oilers stormed away with it. 6-3 win. McDavid.
5 goals in the second.
Yeah, McDavid gets 2 goals and Evan Bouchard 2 assists. The Oilers' offense starting to look like it's starting to wake up. The Oilers will now take on the Rangers tomorrow night. And, Bouchard with a couple of assists as well in that.
Maybe
they're start. Maybe that offense is going to start to wake up, and no coach has to get fired 10 games into the season to wake them up, like we have seen in the past. So Oilers get a win on a busy NHL schedule last night.
And then we had a conversation yesterday when we dropped the gloves of Drew Remenda, and I made a comment that I would rather have Macklin Celebrini. I still think I'm leaning that way than Connor Bedard. And then he goes, has his first hat trick last night.
Across here, Bedard with a shot. He scores! What a shot by Connor Bedard! Connor Bedard skates the puck in, Bedard with a shot. He scores! Connor Bedard! Coast to coast. There's a shot. Oh, he scores! A hat trick goal for Connor Bedard! And here comes.
He got a assist as well, so he makes that a 4.9. You got him in our hockey poll, too, don't you?
You have Celebrini in that
group.
I have Bedard in that group. I needed some more points from him because Celebrini is starting to lead.
Bedard scores. Like, he gets points. Even last year, in a down year, he still was very productive. The final there, Blackhawks 7 and the Sens 3. The interesting thing about that, another sort of weird note, the Blackhawks score 7 goals on Saturday night, I think, and then they come back with another 7-goal night, and then they get 7 on them last night. So in other action, just in case you missed it, we just talked about the Oilers game, but the Leafs beat the Flames 4-3, the Jets over the Wild in OT. The Canucks couldn't manage to find the back of the net against the Rangers, and JT Miller's return to Vancouver.
Both goalies got first and second star. Jonathan Quick, 23 stops in the shutout, and Thatcher Demko only allowed one goal. The other goal was an empty netter last
night. Did Miller score last night?
No, he did not.
Okay. Habs 4, Kraken 3. That was in OT, so the Habs continue to roll as well.
Speaking of the Mammoth, yes, they lost yesterday, but they're making sure one of their young stars is sticking around for a while in Logan Cooley.
Gunther, side of the net, they score! Logan Cooley! Logan Cooley scores! Cooley shoots, he scores! Logan Cooley!
Yes, Logan Cooley signed an 8-year, $80 million contract extension and no signing bonus. All in salary. Of course, he was the third overall selection in the 2022 NHL draft prior to relocation. Nick Olchuk's going to join us, the analyst of the Mammoth, on their surge.
That's
as the best team in the Western Conference.
That's
he's coming
smart
up.
Signing, though.
And there was another big deal, the Canadian. We all found out more about Thomas Harley in the Four Nations faceoff last year. Probably should be on the Olympic team, too, but the Dallas Stars have signed Thomas Harley to a big 8-year extension. Now, that is $84.6 million, $10.6 million per year, just under that by a touch for Thomas Harley. With an
That's
extension
a smart
with the Dallas.
Too.
Oh, absolutely. It is. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Coming up next, the Toronto Blue Jays. Series 2-2. Game 5 tonight. We're going to ask you. We're interested in this because we gave away a jersey at Boston Pizza on Monday and it was blank. And we were pondering, what name would you put on the back of that thing?
Yeah.
From the current Jays roster. I Locker had to clarify that for me because I was like, I don't know.
You still have your favorites from the past.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like Tony Fernandez, maybe.
I'm putting Kirk on. I'm
Alejandro Kirk, that's
I'm
your
still
answer?
Still a Kirk guy. I you know what? And he doesn't let me down. Pretty much every game he does, he steps up, does something cool.
1-877-332-8255 from the current group of Jays. What jersey would you be picking up? Who has become your favorite? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Interesting, Locker dedicating this song to me. That was nice of you. Happy anniversary, Locker.
You know, I could be sentimental. Especially after six beer.
1 year with Locker, and I love it when this guy just comes into the studio and wants to answer the questions we're asking on the Green Zone.
Yeah, he heard us in the hallway.
He was walking in the hallway, and he heard us ask, what name would you put on a Jays jersey? And Evan Bray kicks open the door, and your answer?
Barger.
Right.
100% Barger. And I'll be honest. I mean, I've said this on the air. I'm not like the world's most diehard Jays baseball fan. I caught games through the regular season.
Yeah.
I didn't know a lot about Addison Barger, but this guy's the deal.
Great story.
In the field, he's great. That arm, that gun, that he's got. He can come through on the plate at the bat in the clutch.
How do you feel in the?
You can put him anywhere.
In the what? They took him out in game three.
It's crazy. I mean, I know Schneider didn't know it was going to go 18 innings, but man, we limped through a number of innings in that.
You need that bat.
We need him in the field too. He is good. So the question, I literally was walking by the studio, heard you say, if you're getting a Jays jersey, what name are you getting on it? I went, huh? I literally came in and.
Addison Barger.
You're not alone. Chad texted us in. He has a Vladdy jersey, and his wife brought him a number 47 Barger.
Yeah.
She was like, here you go. Yeah, so he's.
Wow.
Yeah.
Siri, watch it. Did you stay up till 1 a.m.
No, I stuck it till about the 14th inning. I think it was 11:30 or something. But you guys sounded quite chipper, actually, after the game. I listened to your commentary that ran the next morning.
We drove back from Boston Pizza, came down to the radio station, and then recorded those pieces. And then,
listen closely, his voice—he was yelling the whole game. You can tell the voice was a little raspy,
a little crackly.
Well, listen, guys, I appreciate you having me on. I don't like to complain because I'm a visitor on your show.
Okay,
but I am frustrated. Scotty didn't play. I like it when they call me Big Papa.
Oh, for your walk-in song.
For my walk-in song, it would have been. Would have been good. We missed it. Maybe next time.
Yeah,
right, guys.
Maybe we'll get that up next.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to watch, of course, our friends at Z99, Justin and Wheels and Shauna had us all record a walk in and then requested music. And that was.
I liked you. You guys were both great. I loved it. It wasn't just the song. I mean, you guys were styling at the plate.
We had a little thing. We put together a little,
Mine was Money City Maniacs by the Sloan. What was your walk-in song?
I'm a big blues fan, so it's a Johnny Lee Hooker cover. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, good one. Evan Bray.
Am I released? Am I good to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, Evan. Oh, it's a walkout song.
It's a walkout song. There you go. Evan Bray. Big Papa.
Have a good night, Evan.
I'm going to call Evan Bray Big Papa for the rest of my life.
From now on.
All righty.
We want your texts as well. What jersey would you get? They're coming in. Trey Savage, Michael.
See, that's a good one for the future, right?
That's a good one.
That's an investment now and go, I got that in year one.
They're not letting that kid go.
Yeah, they better not. 1-877-332-8255. If you had a blank Jays jersey, what name number would you be through from the current crop of Blue Jays participating right now in the World Series? Who would it be? 1-877-332-8255.
Gary wants Ernie. That's a really
Ernie
good pick.
Ernie Clement.
Number 22. That's a good pick, Gary.
Jamie and Locker with the year in the Green Zone, of course, a little bit later on, 6 o'clock is the start time for the Jays and the Dodgers, game number 5. And of course, you can hear it right here on these radio stations through the Sportsnet Blue Jays radio network.
And keep sending us your jersey. Who would you put? What name would you put on it? Current roster, 877-332-8255. We're getting a lot of really good answers.
Across the board. For the Toronto Blue Jays, and a big one tonight for game number 5. Again, series tied, 2 games apiece. Well, we've been talking a little bit about this hockey team recently. They were one of the hottest in the league, unfortunately. Dropped one last night at Edmonton to end their 7-game win streak. But
my Oilers needed a win, though.
Look at the top of the Western Conference standings. No, it is not the Vegas Golden Knights. Tied for the lead is the Utah Mammoth. Yes, the former Arizona Coyotes make the move to Utah in their second year. They're right now at the top of the table in the Western Conference. And their analyst is Nick Olchek, who joins us now on the Green Zone to tell us more about Utah hockey and how those Mammoth are going. Nick, thanks for your time today.
Jamie, Locker, great to be with you guys. Very exciting time right now for the Mammoth here in Utah, building off of what was a great year last year and improved expectations this year. And so far, so good for the team that, as you guys had said, topped the West and the Central Division.
It's early in the season, but the Mammoth have been exceeding expectations. You know, it's worth mentioning, too, third in the league right now as well. So it's not just the West. They're actually doing quite well, comparatively speaking, to the rest of the NHL. Are they surprising you, or is this something that, as someone who follows the team as closely as you do, is this something you sort of expected to happen?
I would say probably the latter.
Okay.
You look at where this organization is at right now, I just think it was the natural progression of where this team should be. A couple years into the rebuild, now considered more the build. Last year, really a tough thing for all of the organization to move cities, everybody get acclimated. And then last summer, going into the season, the expectations set by the brass, the general manager Bill Armstrong and president of hockey operations Chris Armstrong, you know, the expectations were to be competitive and play meaningful games towards the end of the season, which is exactly what they did. Some of the young guns took big steps. When you think about Cooley and Gunther, and Clayton Keller continues to be as an elite hockey player that we have in the entire National Hockey League in terms of producing on the offensive side. So, you know, they missed the playoffs by 7 points last year. Okay, so now it's the next phase. And coming into this summer and this season, the expectations were we want to make the playoffs. And so that, with that being the standard, Bill Armstrong went out. He made the splash trade of the summer where you get J.J. Paterka and you got to give up good players to get good players. It was Josh Doan and Michael Kesslering, really important players in their own right.
Yeah.
That went the other way to Buffalo, but you get a 23-year-old stud who signed a 5-year contract extension. You go out and sign Nate Schmidt. You bring in Brandon Tanev. You get Vitek Vanacek to back up a goaltender like Karel Vemelko, who's proven to be a number one in the league. So I just think, am I surprised where they're at? No, because this is all part of the plan as they try to make that push for the playoffs. I know we're still early, and while you can't make the playoffs in the first 10 or 11 games, you can certainly dig yourself a hole, but these guys have gotten off to a heck of a start.
Nick Olchek joining us, analyst of the Utah Mammoth. Of course, the big news today was locking up Logan Cooley to a big contract extension, another piece of the puzzle locked in long-term. How big is that move to coincide with some of the other guys like Dylan Gunther, who has already signed long-term with the Utah Mammoth, Sergachev, as you mentioned?
Yeah, massive. This is the guy you had to get locked up, and Dylan Gunther is going to be here for a long time. He signed the big ticket last year, which seemed like, oh my goodness, you know, a little over $7 million. Wow. And then here comes Logan Cooley off the top turnbuckle with the elbow drop, as is a Brinks truck is going to be backing up into his driveway for a lot of years to come, a couple times a month. But, you know, look, it's such a great blend for a guy like Logan Cooley in terms of his skill set, the type of guy that currently to this point in the season, when you look at the NHL edge tracking, there's only one player that has a faster max skating speed than Logan Cooley, and that's the best player in the world, Connor McDavid. So you mix that incredible speed with a guy that is a driver, and by a driver, I mean a guy that wants the puck on his stick, that doesn't really defer unless it's the obvious play in the neutral zone, because the speed that he has is going to push back the opposition, and he's more than capable of beating guys one-on-one. He wants the puck on his stick in the big moments. And so, you know, you look at that deal, 8 years, $10 million. It's unbelievable for a 21-year-old kid, but he is worth every penny. And for our home broadcasts, I have the pleasure of being between the benches each and every game. And I think the one thing that maybe people don't know or don't pay enough attention to about Logan is how competitive he is. He doesn't take bleep from anybody. And for a 21-year-old kid in the league who is an elite offensive player and coming to or continuing to come into his own with that, if he gets pushed, he's going to turn around and push back. Someone chirps at him, he's going to turn around and chirp back. So I just think there's such a confidence that Logan Cooley possesses, not just the skill set, but also the mentality And the type of guy that is going to be extremely impactful for a long time to come. And just a heck of a young man off the ice. So very well deserved. Nice. And I know a lot of Utah Mammoth fans here in Mammoth Nation are taking a couple sighs of relief knowing that he's going to be here for the long haul.
Nick, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were having the conversation about Ryan Smith, and it kind of morphed into how many owners' names do you know? And we all know Ryan Smith's name. If you follow the game casually, you're probably aware that he owns the Utah Mammoth. And the interesting thing about it is he's kind of setting the stage for a new sort of template for what owners, I guess, for lack of a better expression, look like moving forward. But I'm also curious about his strengths as a leader, coming from somebody that works probably fairly closely with him, Nick, yourself.
Yeah. Look, there is no doubt that the infrastructure for a lot of good things going on in the great state of Utah is because of Ryan Smith and his wife Ashley, who are the owners, the governors, the leaders of the Utah Mammoth and the Utah Jazz and the NBA. Just to kind of take a quick little tangent, like the things that Ryan and his wife Ashley are doing for the state, building of what's going to be an unbelievable downtown district with a new music hall and the future plans of enhancing the district around Delta Center, the renovations at Delta Center, because the Delta Center was built originally for the Jazz. It was built for basketball. So with the basketball court being so much smaller than a 200-foot long ice sheet in the National Hockey League, there's going to be some sightline issues, which were the case last year. Nonstop work all summer to make sure that the lower bowl was taken care of and that folks in the end zones and every single seat in the lower bowl could see the action. And then the next two summers, continuing on with that in either side of the upper bowl, the investment of the Smith family has been miraculous. And it's touching not just these players who also, oh, by the way, got what I like to call a practice facility that is pretty much a Ritz-Carlton with a hockey rink on the inside, something where the players can go and spend all day and have access to anything and everything they need, from a team kitchen with a cafeteria that looks like something like the cafeteria at Hogwarts in Harry Potter, to recovery rooms that has everything you need.
Saunas, everything.
State-of-the-art. Yeah, state-of-the-art, an ice sheet times two, where they can bounce back and forth if the ice gets choppy. So I just think everything that Ryan and Ashley Smith have done to put hockey on the map and to continue to grow the great state of Utah and the Mammoth and the Jazz has been nothing short of phenomenal. And they don't see themselves as owners. And this was one of the first comments that Ryan and Ashley had made since I had come to Utah. And you know, they said, we don't see ourselves as owners. They don't really like calling themselves owners. They see themselves as stewards. They see the Mammoth and the Jazz as gifts to the community, and how can they rally around everybody here in Utah? So just, it's such a family atmosphere, and I think the thing I respect among the many things you have to respect about Ryan Smith, considering what he has done with Qualtrics, his business, and everything with Smith Entertainment Group, he puts people in positions to make decisions. He very much trusts those people, but he always looks at it through the lens, at least from what I've observed, is how can we make this place better? How can we leave it better than we found it? And you put all that together when you own sports teams and you're a very important person in the community. It has been nothing short of phenomenal what he has done, and a big reason why the Mammoth are doing so well, and a big reason why the future is going to continue to get even greater and even brighter here in Salt Lake City and the state of Utah.
Nick Olchuk joining us, analyst of the Utah Mammoth. You live this in Seattle. Of course, you're the son of Ed Olchuk. You were born in L.A. when he was a king and all that. You've been around hockey for a long time. But you live this with Seattle, a newer NHL market, although they have huge hockey there. Utah, a new NHL market. But there is pro hockey there on a smaller degree. How much do you is your job trying to explain to a new audience what they're watching, yeah. or do you just broadcast it like you'd be in Toronto or Edmonton yeah. or anywhere else?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of my favorite questions to answer because I think you hit the nail on the head that there is a professional hockey history here. You go all the way back to the IHL, the WHL days when you had the Salt Lake Golden Eagles. And then a little bit more in modern history where you had the Utah Grizzlies in the ECHL. And unfortunately for Grizzlies fans, the team has since moved on. So, you know, the Utah Mammoth are the only professional hockey team here in town. And with that history, there is a real strong contingency of hardcore hockey fans. And I think the one thing that I've always tried to take pride in is whether you are in a place that I grew up like Chicago, where being one of the original six teams and it's a hockey hotbed, you know, there are maybe not as many, but there are new fans there. So I always try to attack every broadcast here in Utah, whether we're doing home games or road games. I try to attack it in the point of I have to think that there's both new fans that are watching, someone that's never seen a game for the first time. So how do we draw them in?
Yeah.
Keep them entertained and maybe teach them one thing about the game that they didn't know. So when they sit down at the dinner table, they can say, hey, look, guess what I learned. Or they go to school the next day, they can tell their friends, or they go to work and they're talking in the break room, they can have something to talk about, but also, you know, to entertain. So yes, it is a new market in terms of the National Hockey League, but a lot of people here that do know the game. So it's always a fine line, and I always do my very best to not step too far, because you don't want to alienate the hardcore fans and say, yeah, duh, of course that's icing, or of course yeah. that's offside, or of course that's a high stick. Well, for some of the new fans, when you say the whistle went for a high stick, there would be new fans sitting there saying, well, why isn't it a penalty? Well, it was because the player touched the puck above the shoulders, as opposed to somebody high-sticking somebody in the face, right? So there's little ways, I think, that you can work things in, or something simple like icing. Yeah, we all know icing. But to go back and show the replay and say, well, he was an inch before the red line when he dumped it in, the puck went all the way down. That's why it was called icing. So there you're showing the hardcore fan that it was very close to the line, and you're also teaching the new fans, well, that is the rule. If you don't get to the red line and dump it in, that's icing. So, you know, we try to do have such a conscious mindset here of trying to both teach, entertain, and inform. And I'm just blessed to be part of an incredible broadcast team with Matty McConnell and Dom Moore, a longtime NHLer. Kim Becker does a great job in the studio. Sarah Merrifield, our team reporter, and the voice on the radio, Mikey Folta. So we try to have fun. We try to entertain and teach. And, you know, seems like our fans have enjoyed it so far, because when we're at the games, when we get to interact with fans, everybody seems to be pretty happy, and that's why we're here. We're here to entertain and to try to take people away from their lives for one reason or another for about 2 hours every game day.
Well, Nick, thanks for joining us. Our NHL analyst from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, is the great Drew Remenda, who has always told us, well, Edzo used to be the best color analyst in the game. Now it's his son. So there you go.
Very kind. Drew is a legend. Drew is a legend. Anytime you guys need me, more than happy to come on. Appreciate it. And it's interesting who I've kind of gone back and forth who I'm rooting for in the World Series. You mentioned earlier I was born in L.A., but my dad had some great years in Toronto. But I think I'm leaning towards Toronto. Let's give another team some World Series success.
So there's room in the bandwagon.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Keep up the great work.
Right on, Nick. Thank you so much. That's Ed Olczyk. He is the analyst, or that's Nick Olczyk, the analyst of the Utah Mammoth. As Drew says, there's only one better analyst than the NHL than Ed, and it's his son, Nick.
He does a good job.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Coming up next, they threw out pitch counts didn't matter to Madison Bumgarner 11 years ago. We'll remember that day next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.